Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Finally today, we are going to finish by
saving
checking.
Saving the best for last. I love it, Tiziana. Way to go.
There he is. There is Chris Siderick. We're here to check the score with Radio Boston's Chris Siderick. Hey there, Chris.
Hey, TD. How's it going?
It's good things. And it was quite a weekend. Some interesting baseball, a lot of other activities going on. We are going to talk baseball today. And I got to say, at the billboard for the show, we said that the Red Sox turned out to be really good. And we did not see that coming. Would like to point out again, you did not see that coming. You said the Sox were going to be terrible. So what is going on and how could you get it so wrong?
Yeah, I mean, this is hard, but I want to start by saying I was wrong.
Yes.
There we go. That feels
good.
That
was really satisfying.
I was not alone on this, Tiziana. This team, so this Red Sox goes into the All-Star break here. They're 55-36. They have 55 wins. They're on pace to win 98 games this year. Vegas, at the beginning of the year, predicted this would be an 82-win team. So you're talking about 16 wins better than the experts in Vegas are predicting. This team is way overperforming the expectations. It's been fun to watch.
Okay, so fun seems to be, you know I'm a baseball fan and I do watch a lot of Red Sox, and fun seems to be the operative word. This team seems to be having a really good time. Is that how they're doing it, or is there like some skill that I'm missing that's also involved?
It's so true, and I think that is a huge part of it. Clubhouse mentality is big, and kind of how guys interact with each other. Of their 55 wins, 29 of those wins have been come from behind wins. So they fall behind, and they just never feel out of it. They don't care how much they're down by. They keep fighting, and that is a huge bonus in the game of baseball. You've also got they're being led by their young all-stars. Rafael Devers and Xander Bogaerts are performing incredibly, both at the plate and in the field. Their pitching has been the biggest surprise, starting pitching and bullpen. Their bullpen has a major league best six pitchers with 20-plus appearances and a sub-3 ERA, which I know our director Jamie's like, I don't know what any of those numbers mean. It means once the starter goes out and the bullpen guys come in, it is tough to score against these guys. And that is a huge bonus for them as they hit the second half of the season.
All right, so let's talk about the second half of the season, because one hypothesis is they weren't expected to be good, so they could be loose and go have a lot of fun. And then that led to winning. But now there's the break. There's this big break. Listeners who don't know, there's this All-Star game that gets played this week with players from all the different teams, and all the regular season play stops during that break. And then when people come back, that's really sort of the beginning of the second half of the season. Could the new expectations and this break kind of kill that momentum?
I mean, it could, but I don't see any reason to think that it would. They have a couple of things kind of working for them as they move into the second half here. One of the biggest, they have Chris Sale, who will be coming back from Tommy John surgery. He pitched two innings of a simulated game this weekend. Maybe we'll have a rehab start this week, which would mean folks in Worcester would have something extra to woo about.
So wait, just so time out. For listeners, woo is the thing. Chris Sale is like a very big deal in pitching.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a potential Cy Young candidate coming back. So that will be a huge acquisition. There's also the trade deadline coming up at the end of the month. And Tiziana, we've talked across sports about how key it is for running an organization when you hit that trade deadline. If you feel like you're close, what it does for your team when you add a piece. And I really do think if the Red Sox add a starting pitcher here, a decent, doesn't have to be a great, but a decent starting pitcher, just to kind of beef up that rotation, protect from injuries, in addition to Chris Sale, I think that would give this team some real hunger coming into the second half. And I think they have a chance to make a run in the title.
Okay, you sound very confident, but as we have now established, you can be wrong. So are there any red flags for the second half of the season?
It's red. No, there are a couple red flags. And one for me, you talked about clubhouse attitude and the fact these guys are having fun. There has been a little bit of, if you remember the old dark days, the Josh Beckett chicken and beer kind of complaining mentality. You've got Garrett Richards, one of their starting pitchers, who's really had a tough time ever since baseball cracked down on the sticky stuff, right? They won't let him use glue anymore to glue the ball to their hand. And he really hasn't been himself since that rule change. And then there were some comments from Kike Hernandez, Sox second baseman, going into the break. He was upset that the team was going to have to play on Thursday. I want to play a little bit of sound here just to kind of get what I'm talking about.
I think more important than that is the extra day of the break that MLB took away from us for some reason. But whatever, that's them and their logic of making schedules. And I guess 28 teams need 4 days off and two teams don't. So whatever.
So, I mean, that's like a little bit of excuse making going into the break, right? They start Thursday night. The rest of the league starts Friday. Kind of should be a who cares. So you hate to see guys kind of key in on excuses before you even get to the thing you need an excuse for. But short of that, I think this team has some great young leaders. I think the offense is phenomenal. One of the best offenses in baseball. If the pitching can maintain, they're going to be contenders.
Okay, so I got caught up in baseball. But in our last minute or so, Chris, I do want to ask you, there's something interesting you're watching as the Olympics approach. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, besides the exciting performances, there are a ton of incredibly exciting athletes. Obviously, Simone Biles, potentially her last Olympics. I wanted to shine a quick spotlight on Javon Harrison, who won both the high jump and the long jump at the U.S. track and field trials. He's going to be the first American to compete in both events at the same Olympics since Jim Thorpe in 1912 is how rare that is.
Wow.
You know, folks might think high jump, long jump is all jumping, right? You actually use different shoes for that. The techniques are so different. So that is an impressive feat. But the thing that I'm going to be watching that I think will be really interesting is we've seen so much athlete activism in the last few years. And what will the Olympics do if and when they have athletes speaking out, protesting during ceremonies? They've already kind of tweaked their rules, but it's not quite as free as you might like it to be. I would expect to see some demonstrations on the field during ceremonies. How will they react? We'll have to see as it goes. I think it's going to be really interesting to watch.
And there's some history in this, Chris, and, you know, sort of lightning round here. The Olympics has a history on that front. What do we need to know?
Yeah, I mean, folks might remember that iconic picture from 1968, Tommy Smith holding the black glove fist up in the air. You know, Noah Lyles is a sprinter for the U.S. He wears the black glove kind of in homage of that. And Smith has talked about the fact that he sees today's athletes as kind of taking that baton and carrying it forward. And I think it'll be really interesting to watch what the athletes do and how the Olympic Committee reacts.
All right. We will talk more Olympics in the days ahead. That's Radio Boston's Chris Sidorick. Chris, thanks for checking the score with us.
Thanks for having me.
That is our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Sidorick, Walter Wuthman, and Amanda Beeland with help from Stephen Gelman. Our engineer is Marquise Neal. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Tiziana Deering. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.